If we have spoken about the Bible for any length of time, then you probably already know I've really had no use for it growing up. My aunt's favorite story of me as a little kid, and she was the only Unitarian Universalist I knew growing up, was that I came to her saying I had figured out the Bible. It was just a bunch of people who were not good at drawing illustrations, so instead of making a comic book, they wrote the Bible. I was very proud of this declaration, Eddie. I was like, I figured it out. This is what it is. It was only in seminary that I learned to interpret the Bible in a way that made it make sense to me. My dear professor had us approach it in a way that is more familiar to how I approach literature. They had us focus on what is the context of the time it was written? What was the culture? Who were the people it was written to? Who wrote it? And who gathered these stories and what historically was happening at the time they were written? These questions made the Bible come to life for me. It made it so that I could have an in-depth appreciation of its stories, which is nice because it is the stories that frustrated me as a child. My neurodivergent brain did not like the questions that were often left unanswered by the adults around me. Like with this story, how do we know it was God that he was wrestling? People talk about biblical marriage and biblical morals, but Jacob's here with multiple wives and concubines and slaves, and this is who we're supposed to look for our moral guidance from? I was really skeptical, to say the least, as a kid. Now, with the tools that I have been given, I can not only appreciate this story, but I can actually empathize with Jacob. I have known those kinds of nights. The nights where you lie awake wrestling with something that doesn't exist outside of the thought, yet it has the weight to make your body ache out in a pain the next day. To not know which way to turn and yet be transformed on the other side of it. When reading the scripture this week, it did lead me to wonder, though, how do other biblical scholars interpret this text? Are they in agreement over the simplistic answer that he was wrestling with God? That's it, nothing more, like I had been taught growing up? Or were these scholars... did they think that there was more meaning to it? I'll give you a chance to guess what it might have been. Crazy, among the many commentaries that I have around my house, which I have to tell you, getting back into the dating scene, having your house covered in Bible books is weird and hard, but we make do. I did find that there were many different theories as to the meaning of this text. Some felt it was just imagery used to make a statement about the meaning of struggle. Others thought it was a statement on divine presence, on human nature. Others see it as a test of fitness for future responsibilities. And again, others look at it simply as speaking to the internal struggle that leads to transformation in us all. Some argued, was it even God? What does it mean to wrestle God? Maybe it was a water demon. Several commentaries said, maybe it was a water demon. Or it was a prefiguration of his brother Esau before he goes to meet him the next day. Mm. Along those same lines, there was even one that wagered the theory that it was an erotic reconciliation between the brothers through a night of erotic brotherhood behavior. So there are many different possibilities that this story could take. The amazingness of it, though, is that when we look at scripture through the sort of lenses that we do literature, we can see that they can mean all of this and none of it at the same time. We can read them and see them how we under in wholly different interpretations depending on when and where we are in our life when we're reading them. If you've ever read a good book when you were a kid and then you pick it up again as an adult and the story's completely changed, that can happen, and it's kind of cool. For myself, currently, the theories that this scripture resonates with me the most whole is that it's taking on an internal struggle that leads to transformation within ourselves, and also asking, what does it mean to struggle? If I may, though, I'd like to back up and focus on the scripture and what happened around this particular night in Jacob's life. Jacob is on his way to meet his brother Esau, with whom he is estranged from. He wants to reconcile. I'm sure none of us have dealt with that in our life right now, reconciling with family that maybe have done us wrong or we did wrong. He wants to reconcile, but it is so overly fearful that his brother will not just reject him, but will destroy him. He is so scared that he sends gifts upon gifts before he even gets there to try and butter him up. He separates his people and his flocks under the thought that, well, if he attacks one of the group, then maybe the rest of them can survive. To say he does not expect the reconciliation to go well is an understatement. And so he spends the night before seeing his brother alone, left to wrestle with an unknown force that leaves him determined to meet his brother regardless of the outcome. He's a changed man. He may still have fear, but he knows what he must do. Jacob had fear. But who of us haven't when we have... Jacob was torn, but knew what he had to do. He had to go reconcile with his brother, regardless of his fears. And when he did meet his brother, he was met with love. A love that he didn't even believe at first. Our struggles can lead to transformation. This isn't a novel concept. But when we take the time for introspection, to ask the whys, to turn over our options, it's when we do this that we are showing that we care. It shows that we want growth in our lives based on how we find our answer. It shows that we know how we need to show up, even if we aren't always sure why or if it's a good idea. When we wrestle with God, we are taking time to search for the divine guidance that lives within us, the thread that ties us to the humanity and the world beyond. Often, I think we use the word discernment often in these moments, as many of us tend to lean into that language here. But anytime we take to worry, not just about ourselves, but about the others we will impact, the way we impact, we make a difference. Not just in those around ourselves, not just for those around us, but also ourselves. We know we become transformed. And sometimes it takes a sore back or a wonky hip Sometimes it just takes a sore back or a wonky hip, and that is just part of the burden and wanting to do and be better.